Commentator John McWhorter read an interview with a breakdancer last week. He was delighted to learn breakdancing was enjoying a new lease on life, but he was troubled by some of the other things the performer had to say.
Breakdancing is back. It makes me feel both happy and old. But I was struck to read the leader of one of the best groups saying, "We need to keep dancing so we don't do obsolete things like robbing or selling drugs." We must ask, if he's so aware of the dangers of such things, that they're obsolete, then where does he get the idea that short of dancing, nothing, including himself, would stop him from spending half his life in jail? The future of Black America hinges on how we feel about this man's sense of his chances. And luckily, there are signs that we've reached a tipping point. We can't condemn this guy for his pessimism. He drank it in from a mood blowing in the wind since the late 60s. This was when we all became more aware of societal inequity and how it can hold people back. Good. But it was a short step from here to a sense that racism is a condemnation to failure rather than an inconvenience. Many think of this as a kind of higher wisdom, but this ideology was not common coin before the 60s. In his book The Lost City, the economist Alan Ehrenhold wrote that poor blacks in Southside Chicago in the 50s had a basic sense of posterity and optimism, this being when police brutality against blacks didn't even make headlines, and black people couldn't try on shoes at Sears. It's not surprising that Black America overdosed on the fatalism after all we'd been through. But today, we're waking back up to what it really takes to get over. But we remain divided into two camps. One thinks that our job is to look for evidence that white people don't like us as much as they say, out of a sense that until we fix that, everything else is garnish. So Al Sharpton asked Howard Dean how many blacks worked under him in Vermont, in a state where, in 2000, blacks were 0.5% of the population, 3,050 people, many of them still children. Or, last week in New York, the NAACP was thinking about suing New York for holding back third graders, since 85% of the kids held back are brown. But the idea is to make sure that the kids are prepared to live productive lives. It looks like deep down somebody still thinks that doing well in school is not exactly a black thing to do. But have you noticed that there are no new Al Sharptons? And lately, one black leader after another is calling for us to realize that while we can't forget the obstacles, we will get nowhere without looking into ourselves, too. Everybody's favorite skinny kid with the funny name, Barack Obama, told us 2 weeks ago to eradicate the slander that says a black youth with a book is acting white. Bill Cosby told us that poor blacks must play a part in their own salvation. He wasn't polite, but legions of blacks have agreed with him. Henry Louis Gates has recently urged us to let go of our fear of saying in public that our success will come from within. No group has ever thrived on pessimism. If the kind of message we're seeing more and more lately becomes mainstream, it'll be what the new breakdancers 20 years from now have been suckled on. We should all hope so.
John McWhorter is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and he's author of Authentically Black. He lives in New York.